This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll start here and end up someplace else. Verse 1, now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Wow, that's a real, that's powerful. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known. Therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things, and we exist through him, or we live through him. Now what does that mean? It means that Christ is the Christian life, and it's Christ himself living his life in you to live his life through you. And therefore, Jesus Christ, who lives in you, is the standard. You and I can't create our own standards. Jesus Christ is the plan. You can't act contrary or think contrary to what Christ would think or feel and call it Jesus just because you have an issue about something. We live through him. Everything you do has to be filtered through Christ. However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience being weak. But food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat it, nor the better if we eat it. But take care lest this liberty of yours, being able to eat food that's sacrificed to idols in this story, if this liberty of yours somehow becomes to the weak. For if someone sees you who has knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, and the brother of whose sin is God. And thus, by sinning against the brother, the brethren, to be men or women, wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Now, in case it's kind of weird, what he's saying is, yes, we know there are demons and things that are sacrifices made to idols. He talks about in 1 Corinthians 10 can be demonic spirits can be attached to them, but the idol itself is nothing. And he says, look, if that's not bother you, that eat meat, sacrifice to idols, do it. He said, but there are some people who don't feel good about it. They don't feel comfortable with it. Now, he refers to them as weak, not sinful, but they just don't have faith for this. They see it in a different way. And therefore, you should love them enough to understand that they don't see it the way you see it. And therefore, don't do it in front of them. Because when you do it in front of them, they'll feel like it's okay for them to do it, and they'll do it, and then their conscience is defiled as a result. And he says, when you do that, when you've caused someone who's weak, you've sinned against Christ. Now he starts off by saying, we do all things. We live through Christ because Christ is the Christian life. And then he goes on and he says, and if you sin against a brother or sister, if they're weak, then you've sinned against Jesus. Why would he say that? Because we're in Christ. And so every one of us should see every believer as someone who's in Christ. And whether they're really walking it out fully or not, and whether what you see to seem to be right and they see something and they don't think it's wrong or right. I'm not talking about obvious moral issues, that kind of stuff, but just maybe it's just because they don't really get it. That maybe they're because they're weak. They've not matured in their Christ-likeness enough. You hear what I'm saying? He said, but to cause them to stumble, attitude towards them, is to sin against Jesus. It's really important. There's just some things I don't get. I mean, I tell you, I don't watch a lot of nonsense, I don't watch a lot of jazz, or read a lot of jazz, because I want to fuel and feed everything in me that's going to cause me to walk in Christ-likeness. But I watched something the other day, and these were Christians, and happy that somebody had lost their job. Because they felt like the person who had lost their job were saying things that were very non-Jesus. And they were like delighting in the fact that they had lost their job. I get the part that God puts people in different places in terms of how you, it impacts you that they're saying things that don't honor Jesus or dishonor Jesus, but Christ never celebrates a human's suffering. That person, totally opposite views of what you believe, losing their job, I just have to commit that to God. You know, but why would that make me happy? They're human beings. Jesus died. And to Jesus, they're the most important person in the world. And though maybe they were supposed to lose their job, he doesn't ever celebrate the suffering that they have to go through and the humiliation and what their family experiences. That's just not Jesus. You know, we've said this before, we'll say it again. How much you love Jesus isn't the great determining factor of your Christ-likeness as much as how much you love Judas. Jesus, it says in Scripture, when he, in the garden, he called him his friend, he washed his feet, just like he did Peter and John. It says about those 12, when he washed his feet, he loved them to the end. He gave himself to them to the end, including Judas. Now, was Judas the son of perdition? That's what the Scripture says. Do I believe that Judas went to heaven? I have a hard time seeing that in Scripture. But his disposition, how much he loved Judas. See, one of the things I know that's going to happen in this move of God's, because this move of God, remember that revival is to restore something to normal. And Scripture is Christ-likeness. That's the normal. And so what revival is going to look like is people in mass. It can be a person walking in revival, but a people in mass who are exhibiting, not trying to be like, but manifesting Christ-likeness. And Christ-likeness is manifested most purely when the nature of God is best exemplified, which is what? Love. And if I can only be Christ-like towards the ones who I agree with, God so loved the world that he gave his son. So I think the thing, I hope you understand, I'm not trying to talk politically at all. I don't do that. I don't. The only thing I ever say about, I vote pro-life. because the most vulnerable people in the world are the preborn. They're the poorest, the weakest. I've got a little new grandson. He can't do anything for himself. And so that's for me. I'm for the poorest of the poor, the most vulnerable, the weakest, but I'm not just for that, but that's not my issue, politics. I'm just talking about Christ-likeness. And if we're going to live through Christ, in other words, everything we do is filtered through who he is. If Christ is living through us and therefore we're living through Christ, then the thing that's most important to Jesus in all the world is people. Winning an argument, it's people. And above everything else, when it crafts that wave, that revival, that's what it's going to look like. And it's going to be something that the world's never seen before. And there's no explanation for it. They don't get it. They won't understand it, but they'll want it. Because people are tired of being angry and frustrated and offended and wounded and hurt. Jesus came to set us free from all that. We don't have to live with all that. So you can't love someone and live offended with them. What I find that people will do, they'll get hurt by somebody and they'll stay hurt with them, but won't call it being offended because they think they have the right to be hurt with them. Jesus doesn't do that. He just doesn't. And the weaker that scripture, the more sensitive he is to love you where you're at. Anyway, casual Thursday. That's a nice casual word, challenging word. I told somebody one time, this was in a leadership position, I told him, I said, you can't offend me. I said, oh yeah, I can offend you. And I said, no, you really, oh yeah, you watch, I can offend you. It was almost like it was a challenge to him, like, I can offend you. I said, if you do, it'll last about 10 seconds because I'll be repenting the second it's going on inside of me because Jesus just doesn't do that. Christ-likeness is the funnest thing, freest life in the world, but it calls for a lot of heavy-duty repentance. And it's a lifestyle that never stops repenting because he's just other. This way of life that Jesus lives is just other. Amen? And I'm grateful. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.